Wasn't that beautiful? You can stand with me if you would. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad you're all here. Isabel, welcome. Come on. Yeah. What I want us to do first before she starts is I just want us all to just reach your hands toward her. And we just want to bless her today. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Isabel, Lord. We thank you, Father, for renewed strength, God. We ask you to bless her, God, as she comes and she gives this word, Father. Lord, we thank you, God, for the anointing, God, that breaks every yoke of bondage, Father. And we give you praise and honor today in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you.
Want you to, from the prophetic ministry and the class, and so we want you to take that back with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Before I start, is there anyone that has something you would like to ask? Yes?
How are you?
Oh, thank you. I am well. I am well. Thank you. Very well. Thank you. Very well. Thank you. Yes. Yes. How long have you been in the prophetic ministry? Almost 40 years. Yes. But with the prophetic gift all my life, I was born with it. But the ministry almost 40 years. Yes. Yes?
Has there been a shift recently in ministry? Like, I don't know. It just seems like something's going on. Has it been anything different going on?
That's a broad question.
I know. It just seems like some air. Like, it's just different.
There is... There's a lot of shifts in ministry because the Lord is purifying, He's cleansing in many areas. He's doing it in the prophetic. There's a lot of contamination. And people, sadly, you know, there's a lot of prophetic opinions as prophetic words, emotional, a lot of prophetic that's not prophetic. And so a lot of it is actually shifting, and God is cleaning. But in all areas of ministry, really, God is bringing us back to basics, back to the scripture, back to the cross, back to the resurrection. Yes, dear.
What would you tell somebody to just get started in the prophetic ministry? Like one thing for sure that they need to keep in mind.
So someone who is starting in the prophetic ministry, one thing for sure to keep in mind, your relationship with God. More than anything. More important than the gift, more important than anything. It's very easy to fall in love with the gift because the prophetic is nice. And there is a lot of people who worship the prophetic, follow the prophetic, chase after the prophetic, but don't know the prophet. And so, you know, we don't want that. We don't want the idol of prophecy. We want the prophet. True prophetic makes him known and draws people to him and not to the gift. The gift is secondary. It's just a tool to participate in the work of the kingdom. But the prophetic is about the prophet. Yes. To unwind after ministering in the prophetic, I watch TV. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. actually like to watch comedies. I like to watch detective shows that are not violent. Yeah. What's that? I'm not that prophetic. But they're so easy to figure them out now. I don't need to be prophetic to figure out the plot these days. Yes.
What would you say to parents that are raising kids in this generation and you want them to be, you know, sensitive to so much that is coming on kids?
Okay, can you repeat the question a bit louder?
What would you say to parents that are raising children that you want them to go here in the Lord, but there's so much information coming from social, I mean, internet, phones?
Yeah, YouTube is awful. And it's a terrible distraction. I mean, I'm not against good things in YouTube, but there's so much garbage. That is a hard question to answer. What would you do to raise your children? Because the best you can do is raise them in an atmosphere where you lead by example, where they get to see it. That will stay with them more than what you tell them is what they see. And when they are older, they will remember that. And they, when they get to choose, they will remember what they saw you do and how you taught them, but you showed it. Because when we just tell them but don't show, it has no power. They follow what you see parents do. Know what, you know, they don't hardly ever follow what we tell them, but they do follow what they see us do. So to me, that's the best thing. Because there's a lot of influence out there, like you said, social media and all kinds of things. But what they see you do, raise their children in the ways of the Lord, a lot of that comes from your example. And they will follow that. Yes? Pardon me? I live in Canada. Yeah, no, we live in Canada. Yes. Yes?
What are the steps to take to steward a prophetic word that you
receive? That is a big question. The steps to take to steward the prophetic word you receive and for your children. Very briefly, believe it first. Respond to God. Do you want it or not? It's an offer from the Father's heart for you. It's subject to free will. So align your life accordingly. Follow it. Follow the path it brings. Activate it. Don't just wait for it to activate by itself. Follow the people. Think if it is from God, it will come to pass no matter what. No, it isn't, because it is subject to free will. There is sovereign prophecy, and there is, you know, which is scriptural prophecy. Everything prophecy in the Bible is sovereign prophecy. It's only subject to God. Has appointed times, and nothing can change it. It will come to pass no matter what. The rest of prophecies we receive and we see and we have are subject to free will. So, learning to align your will with the prophecy. And timing is very interesting, because we have this mindset, I'm waiting for God's timing. And that's a mindset that is robbing a lot of people of their destiny and the promises. Because if you wait for tomorrow, tomorrow never comes. I learned that from James Bond. You know, but it doesn't come. It's always one day, and we'll see God's timing. I'm waiting for God's timing. It never comes, that mindset. But according to Scripture, a stewardship starts immediately. You receive it, you start stewarding it now. And so it is, timing is subject most of the time to free will. Something that may take, you know, 5 months can take 5 years, depending on your free will. So it is easier and better for God to slow you down a bit if you are going too fast ahead than to miss it by sitting and waiting for God to push you out. So it's just realizing how much of it depends on us, you know, and how we align our lives to follow it or not. If we go the opposite direction, then it will not come to pass because we're choosing a different path. So, yes. Yes, more revelation comes. Yes, every time you listen, it's true. Yes, because God's word is alive. God's word is alive, so it keeps speaking. Yes.
What's the best way to judge a prophecy?
Scripture. It's meant to be judged with the word of God. Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm very honored to be here. It means a lot to me. Thank you. Anything else? Yes? Well, we are all different when we prophesy and how we hear God's voice. For me now, after all these years and all the many mistakes I have made, when I prophesy, all revelatory anointings are flowing at the same time. I hear, I see, I perceive, I discern. All of it is manifesting. So it's a matter of knowing what is to for now, what is not, what to say, what not to say, just trying to discern the flow of everything that is happening. But to me, the main thing is recognizing the voice of God. When I started ministering prophetically, and back then, I had a gift already, but it was the source. You know, the knowing, it is God's voice or is it me? Is it God? Is it me? I need to know. So I would go and deliver a prophecy. I would get something in a meeting for somebody. And I would be there, you know, stressed out of my mind, trying to know, is it God or is it me? I don't know. I need to know. Is it God or, and all of that. I would work myself into really almost a panic attack. I'm exaggerating, but my heart would pound and my knees would be shaking, and I thought that was the anointing. And so when that happened, then I would go, and I would go to somebody, whoever it was for, and I would give, I would say something like this, literally, like I am not exaggerating. I would say, I think that maybe it is possible, who knows, God may be saying this. And I would give a line of 3 to 4 words. I never passed 4 words. I couldn't give that much. And I felt like I had given birth to an elephant because of all the stress I had been through to get there. And then in time, it changed. Of course, through the years, it has progressed. Not because of gift or anointing. I don't believe that's what makes it happen. Because my relationship with God has increased. And because of our relationship, when he speaks, no matter the place, the situation, the noises, whatever is happening, when he says hello, I can pick out his voice in the crowd. I know that's him and shut down all the others. So I speak now with confidence and I flow, and that because I know him better. Not because of gift, not because a gift has grown or anointing has increased, but because our relationship, I know him. The more I know him, the easier it is to prophesy and to hear his voice. And there is no stress. Yeah. Yes. If somebody, I get that a lot. Lots of people ask me questions. You know, they need an answer to a question. Depending on what it is, I mean, if it is, I get trivial questions like, which school should my child go to, really? You know, or things like that. But I just ask the Lord. I just inquire. Ask the Lord. And I ask him, you know, this question. If you haven't want to give me an answer, just give me the answer. And if you give it to me, I'll pass it on. If not, then no. I don't guarantee an answer to anybody. I don't promise an answer. I just ask God and leave it with him. If he answers, I do. But if not, it's their problem to hear God. Yes. All right. This afternoon, I just want to talk a little bit about the versatility of prophecy. And the main thing I want to say is you don't need to have a prophetic gift to prophesy. And that's really, really important because, you know, we make things so complicated. But you don't need to be prophetic as in gift to prophesy. You need, the only thing that you need to prophesy is the Holy Spirit, of course. Otherwise, you will not hear the voice of God or know anything from him. But you don't need the gift to prophesy because prophecy, there are three, I want to briefly talk about three levels of prophecy. But prophecy, in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 and 39, Paul is saying to everybody to prophesy. He's making it general. He's not saying if you have the gift, if you have the anointing, if you are in a ministry, if you are a prophet. He's telling everybody to prophesy. And not everybody has a gift, the gift of prophecy. But Paul is saying everybody seek it, want to do it. Because the prophecy means God speaks and we reveal what he says, right? That's what prophecy is. So Paul is saying in those scriptures, when he makes it general, that we can all prophesy because of relationship with God. You have relationship with God, he speaks. And all you have to do to prophesy is reveal what he said. It's that easy. So that relational side of God talking to you, we can all do it. And that's what we need to be prophetic people. In cultivating the relationship, the friendship, that ability to know him and hear his voice. And then, because every child of God has the ability to hear God's voice, every person, every human being has the ability. God builds it within us for relationship with him. So we all have the ability, everybody, to hear God. It's relational. There is no gift called hearing God's voice. You see, it's relational. The more you invest in relationship with him, outside of devotions, we have to do devotions every day. But aside from that, the more you build relationship with him, you get to hear his voice, you get to know. Relationship makes you, is what allows you to get to know people, to get to know somebody's heart, to get to know their thoughts and their how they function. The more you build that with God, personal relationship, friendship with Him, you get to know Him. Hearing His voice is easier because it's the same thing as with somebody, with a friendship. You are acquaintances. You need a person to identify themselves when they call you or talk to you. If you don't have caller ID or don't see it, you know, you don't recognize the voice of an acquaintance, a casual relationship. But if your closest friends or your best friends call you, you know, and they don't need to identify themselves. You just say, hi, it's me. You know exactly whose voice that is without having to identify themselves. It is the same thing with God. If you are in an acquaintance level, which is just being saved and doing devotions, then you will have trouble identifying His voice. But if you build relationship in Him by spending time, by doing life together, then sharing back and forth, like Enoch, like 24/7 with Him, then hearing His voice becomes easy, and then He doesn't have to say, it's me, and send an angel to write it on the wall. You know, that's Him talking. You see, it's relational. So to the level, relationship is what determines how much a person hears God's voice, how easily they hear God's voice. It's not spirituality. You see, it's relationship. So from that level, every one of us can prophesy because every single person relationally can hear God's voice and reveal what He says. And that's prophecy. So it is available to everybody in that level. So we need to develop that and develop that prophetic culture out of relationship. You see, and God wants to reveal His heart. All you have to do is ask Him, show me your heart about this person. Show me your heart about this situation. What do you think about this? He answers, and you tell, and you prophesy. You see, it's easy because He is the source of it. It's relational. Then there is the gift that in Corinthians 12 that is given to some. To some He gives the gift of prophecy. And that simply means if you get a gift of prophecy, it doesn't make you more spiritual or better because someone else will get a gift of helps, another one a gift of, you know, tongues, another one a gift of healing, another one. So all the gifts are important. It simply means there was more demand from you in that area. And if you receive the gift, that means, you see, God will put you in situations where there's need for it. There's more demand, and He will give you what people need if you are willing to serve in that area. So it is just demand on you, demand on your time, a demand for service to have the gift. And if you go into the office or the ministry, it's simply an increase of demand. It doesn't mean you're more spiritual or better. It simply means you're willing to serve more. And so you will entrust it with more. You know, it is not personal gain, a personal position, a personal, you know, look at me where I am, because these are all gifts of service in the kingdom of God, all of them. Everything is service in the kingdom. So it's very easy. So instead of focusing on the gifts and all of that, if you get a gift, the Holy Spirit will make it known. You will be recognized by it. And the evidence will manifest around you. If you receive an office, it will make, you don't need to make it known. The Holy Spirit will make it known. And the manifestation of it will reveal itself. You don't have to worry about that. But we all need to focus on the relational level of prophecy, and the rest will come by the Holy Spirit. He will take you wherever he wants to take you. And if he doesn't take you to the gift, it's fine, because you can still prophesy to your heart's content out of relationship. Like, relationship doesn't end. You see, you can still be in a crowd of, 45 people and ask God, show me your heart for these people. He will gladly do it if you are willing to invest your time and energy and in giving everybody a piece of bread from him. You see, it's relational. So I want to encourage you in that. You do not need to be prophetic at all to prophesy, because prophecy is not about knowing things about people at all. That has nothing to do with this. Not, you don't need to know anybody about anyone in order to prophesy. You see, if you do that, you are trying to do that, you are striving through the gift. And that is not good, because then that can lead you to self-confidence, to pride. And if people who build the trust in the gift have the danger of, under pressure, make something up. But so you don't need any of that. You don't need to know anything about anybody to prophesy. All you have to do is know well the one who knows everything. He knows everything. You don't need to know. I don't need to look at you and know things about you to prophesy. I just ask him who knows you. And when he wants to say, he says it. And when he doesn't, he doesn't. You see? So we can relax. Invest in relationship and know we can all do it out of relationship. You know, because it is prophesying what that Paul is telling us. You know, it's as simple as Ina. You know, I know her children. So I'm going to talk to Matthew. But I know his mom. So I just stopped and I contacted her and said, you know, I'm going to talk to Matthew. Is there anything you would like me to tell him for you? She tells me something, and I tell Matthew, Matthew, I was talking to your mom. She told me to tell you this. That's prophecy. When it's God, not Pastor Ina. When it is from God. You see, that's all we do. He's the Father who knows everything. We just ask him, is there anything? Show me. And that, we say, that's prophecy. It's so easy, a child can do it easily. You see, relational. And the rest will flow. He gives growth. He takes us there based on your heart and character and how many fiery trials are you willing to go through. And then, you know, the growth in the prophetic doesn't come from the gift. It actually comes when your character and your heart are safe. When you develop a heart and a character that God can trust and people can trust. That's what gives the growth. You can try to raise the gift, to improve the gift. It's just a tool. It gives you revelation. But revelation doesn't bring transformation. The heart of God is what brings transformation and impartation and change. That is relational. And he will share that with you when he knows you are safe and people are safe in your presence. Then he will open up the gates and let the flow, the flow come, and it'll be, and it's not you striving to be more prophetic. So don't worry about being more prophetic. Invest into being more relational and invest into your heart and your character. The prophetic is the one thing that will give you, bless you, dear. The prophetic is the one thing that will give you the most fire trials that you can possibly imagine. that gift will take you into a lot of the, you know, because, but, you know, the second one of the three of this morning, the testing by fire, that the purification, that you want to grow in the prophetic, you will live through a lot of that, because the prophecy is the second most important gift in the Bible. First is love. Prophecy is the next one. That's what Paul said above all others. Second to love, of course, pursuit to prophesy. They both are inhabited by Jesus. The only two gifts that actually he inhabits is love, for he is love. It's prophecy. Revelation 19:10, the spirit of prophecy is Jesus, because he is the word of God. Where the word of God is spoken is Jesus being revealed, being released. So they both are inhabited by him. It's not just a gift that you is a person inhabiting those two gifts. And that's why it will require a lot of those fiery trials, so that you don't contaminate it, so that the purity of him can flow. And not, see, to prophesy, prophecy has two filters that are very, very important. There is the receiving filter and the delivery filter. And it's up to you. The receiving filter is your revelation of God, your revelation of the Father, of the Father's heart, of the Father's love, of who he is as a Father, as God, of the person. And whatever your revelation is, that's the filter to receive. So it comes from him as he is. Your filter doesn't change who he is. It affects your perception and your interpretation. You see, but it comes from him. He speaks, he shows you something, and there you are. And if your filter is that he is harsh and he's angry, whatever he says, you receive it through that filter. So it becomes as harsh or negative or judgmental. You see, you receive it like that. Because as your revelation changes, you see, then hearing his prophecy is not only about the information or the words. We need to know the motivation, the intention of his heart. By doing that or by saying that, it's so important that we keep the integrity of the motivation, his intention. Why is he, what does he want to accomplish? You see, and that's why relationship is so important, so you get to know him and know how he thinks, how he works, so that you can also, through the Holy Spirit, quickly know his intention, why he wants you, is showing that to you. And we need to keep that integrity, otherwise we can mess it up. We can mess it up really badly. So we need to know that. And that comes from the revelation of who he is. If you know he's merciful, he's kind, he's loving, he's, restoring, all of that, then you hear that, you receive through that filter. And then it's pure. The purity of it depends on receiving, depends on your filter of your revelation of God, who he is, the love of the Father's love, the heart, the character, his identity, who he is. Then there is the delivering filter. You can receive it well, but you can deliver it wrong. Depending on your filter, the releasing filter is the healing of your heart. And that's very important. That's why we need to guard your heart above all things and keep it clean. And that's why we need to keep dealing with things constantly, every day. Close the tab, deal. Make sure there's no loose ends. you know, live in forgiveness, repentance. Go get help. You know, I every so often go for tune-ups in a healing. I'm going for one next week because I know things happen in life, and then if the filter gets a bit dirty, it changes what comes out to me. Because then that becomes a filter, whatever you carry in your heart. That's why the purity of heart and guarding your heart and cleansing your heart is so important. So that you receive, but it comes out, you know, without being contaminated by the issues of your heart. So those two filters are really important. We need to work on them. No one else can. It's personal. It's between you and God. And so, you see, it is very, sadly, it's, you know, I wish I could tell you, it's easier. Pray, other gifts are easier to handle than the prophetic because it's extremely powerful, and the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is alive. Psalm 4:29, it breaks yokes, it twists mighty oaks. Strips the forest bare, it's majestic. Prophecy, to me, is extremely holy. It's very, very holy. There is this sense of holiness and the fear of the Lord, which is awe and reverence to His greatness. But there is this part, hearing God's voice is divine and holy. But it's so casual these days. And it's very casual, and it's very taken very lightly. God is speaking and hearing God's voice. But it isn't. The fact that the great I am, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, will talk to us, there doesn't get holier than that. That's extremely holy. And He needs to be treated with holiness because He is holy. And hearing His voice then is the same thing. It has to be treated with holiness, with reverence. When we say, God said, there is weight behind it. There is power behind it. But what if He didn't say it? You see, and that happens a lot. And we have to know He said it. We need to know, because saying God sent carries a lot of weight. And you cannot, there's one thing we cannot do is put words in His mouth. He will not stand, heaven will not stand behind what God didn't say. And then we mislead people. If you say, God said, God showed me, God told me, but if He didn't, you are misleading people. And Jesus said, it is better for us to put a millstone on our neck and throw ourselves in the river than to mislead even a little one in His kingdom. And the prophetic is an area of great danger for misleading people. You see, if we don't know for sure, if we cannot separate soul and spirit, it's so important that we learn to separate. And that's where the fear of the Lord has to be present, you know, in our lives, that we, you know, fear and we tremble at the thought of it. It's not casual, it's not light. But you see, there's so many times when we confuse things. I was once, a long time ago, at a big conference somewhere with someone that was regarded as, you know, kind of the fourth or fifth person of the Trinity. I'm exaggerating, but not really. Not really. In the prophetic, it was like, whoa. So I was there at this conference, and I was with John Arnott, who is my father, my spiritual father, and the one I call physical father, too. And so I was sitting with John at this conference, and this mighty prophet of God was at the front speaking. He His wife was on my right. I was sitting on his seat while he was speaking. So John was here. The wife was here, was in the middle. And the man on the pulpit said something that sounded a bit confusing. And so John said to me, he said, "Honey, do you think that he just said, do you think that was him talking or prophetic?" Before I could say, I have no idea because I really don't know what he said. So, you know, it was kind of complicated the way he said whatever he said. I had no idea. And so before I could say anything, his wife blocked my mouth. She just went like this and put her hand in front of me, not to let me speak, and said, "No, everything in him is prophetic. Everything he says, he feels, he smells, he tastes, I don't know how that can be prophetic. Everything, there is nothing that is not prophetic in him." And we both, I knew, it's when you know, he's my father, I'm his daughter. We both had the same reaction. We were looking at her. When she said that, we both looked at the front. John said, "Oh," and he looked up to the platform. I said, "Oh," and I looked down. At the very same time, same reaction, because that is unscriptural, you see? But is that part that just because somebody is super prophetic, then not only Jesus is by nature a prophet, the prophet. You are not, I am not, no one is, no one else is. And it's confusing that because you can be extremely prophetic, your opinion is still yours. Your thoughts are yours, your feelings are yours. That's not prophetic. Your soul is not prophetic. Your soul is yours. What you feel, what you think, what you want is yours. That's your soul. But see, when there's this idea in the prophetic that the more you grow in the prophetic, everything you feel is prophetic, everything you think is prophetic, everything you sense is prophetic, and then you start making things prophetic that are not. You see, so it's learning to separate what is my opinion, what is God's opinion, what is my thought and his thoughts, my likes and his likes. Many years ago, Ivan and I were overseers of some ministries, and I still am in some ministries, but back then it was us, the two of us. And there was, one day, this minister contacted us from Europe and said, Ivan was out of town, which was the problem. He was the wise one. And so they said, you know, they were looking for a property somewhere. I may have told you this before, but they were looking for a property for a project they had, and they found the property, and everything seemed to be great, and they said, you know, but because you are, you know, the prophetic voice to our ministry and this and that, we want to run this by you. Tell us, you know, what you see and what you know, what you get and whatever. So anyway, I read the whole thing, and it just felt good. Everything, it was like, yes, yes. The more I read it, yes, yes, I could feel it inside, yes. And so was this part of it witnessing my spirit, that expression. And so I was going to reply and say, yep, feels, I read it, it feels good, it's, yeah, it is good. I just, you know, it witnesses, go ahead. And I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say to me, since you didn't inquire about the question, would you mind just taking a moment and inquire about the answer you are going to give? Just inquire to the Father about it. And I thought that was a weird thing to say. But I was having a good day, thank you, Jesus. So I wasn't fighting. I fight him a lot, unfortunately. But I didn't that day. And I actually said to the Father, I said, "Father, you know, I have a question. The Holy Spirit wants me to ask you this. I don't know why, but It will make him happy. So this is what I'm going to say. What do you think? Immediately, my computer, I was about to type the answer. My computer disappeared. I had an open vision in front of me with three scenes in front of them. And in the first scene, I saw the price of the property was being inflated tremendously. They were being robbed by a lot of money. It was really bad. The middle one, I saw underground, deep into the structure of the foundation, and it was faulty, and I saw the whole thing, and I knew in 5 years it was going to cause a big problem in the building, and it was going to be serious. I also saw that the owners knew about it, but they were hiding it. And I can't remember the detail of the third one. It had to do with the territory that it was wrong for the project they wanted to do. I saw that, and I was shocked out of my mind. In my pride, you know, assuming that I was so prophetic, and I said to the Lord, do you mean to say that I'm wrong? I actually said it like that. I was shocked. It felt right. It witnessed right. This is right. Yes. And since I was, you know, I'm the prophetic voice of this ministry, so yeah. And the Lord, the Father said to me, of course you're wrong. You went with what your spirit said, felt. You didn't ask my spirit what he thought. The witness of your spirit is not my voice. And it's, anyway, so I had to climb down from my tree. And I sent a brilliant answer. I said, I read what you wrote, and upon inquiring of the Lord about it, I saw this. Based on this, the answer is no. Don't do it. 2 weeks passed, I didn't hear anything. Then I got an email saying, your answer, the email you sent was so precise on the details. We printed it, we flew over there with the paper in hand. We checked all three things, and they're 100% accurate. They said, and then they said, we just want to thank you. You have no idea how grateful we are to you for saving us of this. It would have been a disaster. We were going to do it. So thank you so much for helping us. And, you know, it was just a lovely reply. My response to that was, well, be grateful that your Father loves you so much that he protected you because I was going to ruin you. You see? Because, and I learned a big, huge lesson, you know, it's not prophetic. I'm not that prophetic. You see? But it's a part of inquiring of the Lord. And many times we don't want to look unprophetic or lose credibility. And so it is very easy that pride can mislead you. But we have to be completely objective. You have to make sure your opinions are out of the way. Preconceived ideas are out of the way. Personal knowledge is out of the way. Otherwise, you contaminate the integrity of what you give. So if you cannot stand there completely unbiased, regardless of your personal feelings or knowledge, if you cannot separate, it's better not to prophesy. Because you can mislead. You see, and yes, I would like to think that no one is intentionally doing it, but nonetheless, we have to give account to the Lord for every incorrect word that comes out of our mouths. And when we say, God said, that's a big word coming out of our mouths. You see, so is that part of standing there inquiring of the Lord. I was ministering once somewhere many years ago. And, you know, I was prophesying away over people and so on, and they brought me to prophesy over a blind man that was sitting somewhere in a corner, very angry, cursing everybody, bless him. And so anyway, he stood up when I came. I was going to sit on the floor with him, but he stood up to prophesy for me to prophesy over him. But he kept his head down like this, very intentionally. And so he was quite very vocal. And as I was prophesying, he would say, "Yep, that's true. Oh, yeah, that. Oh, I figured that. I was wondering about that. Okay, got it." He kept going like that through the whole prophecy. And so at the end, he said to me, there was silence, and the impartation of the Father's love was so strong coming. Because prophecy is not just what you say, because prophecy is Jesus. The prophecy, you see, the essence, the spirit of prophecy is Him. He's the prophet flowing through you. The gift is not a prophet, it's just a tool. The spirit of prophecy is different. Many can have the gift, but not the spirit of prophecy. And so I could feel the impartation, could feel physically the Father's love just coming like waves out of me and going into Him. And it wasn't just the words, it was the impartation going with it that happens. That's why prophecy is so powerful. Because it's Jesus revealing Himself and revealing the heart of the Father. So He was receiving it. People were in tears. It was quite impacting what was happening. Because He was having healing that man, his heart, and he was encountering Him. It was a powerful encounter, what's happening. But then He said to me, He said, "Everything you just said is true," and it was God, and He endorsed it. And then He said, "But I have a question." And He said, "I want to know." First He said, and this is where the pride can get tickled, you see. He said, "Everything you just said is accurate. He endorsed it. It is right. I know it. I know it's coming from God." And He said, "So I have one more question. I want to know, will I see again?" Because he was blind. "Will I ever see again? Or will I ever see?" I don't know if he said the word again. I can't remember. "Will I ever see?" And, in another, before many of those fiery trials a long time ago, I would have had my pride tickled and I would have answered, trying to look even, maintain that. Not to look unprophetic, not to look, not anointed or whatever, not to lose credibility because I'm building something here. Everybody's listening. But I just said to him, I said, "I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. God has not shown me that. So I don't know." And at that moment, it was a test. He said, "Now I know. You're truly speaking for God. This is as real as if He was standing in front of me." He lifted down His face. He had no eyeballs. I know. He had no eyeballs. So it wasn't about, "Will I see?" He had no eyeballs. You see? And he just had his eyelids, sealed on his face because he had no eyeballs. You could see the holes and a hollow inside. And then I thought, "Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy." Imagine everything would have been thrown out to the garbage if at that moment I would have spoken out of, wanting to be prophetic or, that bright thing. Everything else. I would have gone. And so when he lifted up his face and he said that, some people knew, others who didn't gasped. And he, I can't explain this in any other way. As he looked up, I felt Jesus looking through me and I felt Him having eye contact with that man with the eyes of his heart or his spiritual eyes. But it was just supernatural. I felt like the third wheel on the side. And I could feel it was the most supernatural thing, the two of them looking into each other's eyes somehow, Jesus and him. And then the man, he wouldn't let anybody touch him or hug him ever. No one could. He was cursing people on the floor in the church because they were walking within his area. And he had his space, and he had the cane, and he was hitting anybody. One of my interns got hit because she walked near him. He wouldn't let anybody close to him. And at that moment, as he and Jesus were encountering, he said to me, "Ma'am," bless him, he said, "Ma'am, I need you to hug me, please. I need to be hugged by the Father. And I know if you hug me, he will hug me. He's here. This is him." And it was, I mean, we hugged each other and we wept together. I could feel the Father's love so intense. I could feel the pain of his pain from the Father. I'm not that nice to cry with the grumpy person there. And someone who was grumpy and was now being transformed. But you see, and I could feel, I don't know how long we held each other, and we wept together. And I could feel the waves of the Father's love. They were coming out to me, going into him, and all this pain and anger being pushed out of him. As the Father's love was removing it all from his heart. And when I felt the last one, I let him go. But all of this was still prophesying. God's heart was being revealed still and manifesting. And afterwards I thought, "Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for the fires that burnt that little thing out of me. There's still a lot more to burn, but you know, for that test would have changed everything that night, not just for him, but for others to receive. I would have stopped the flow of the Holy Spirit, you see, because now I made it about me." So, you know, these are the things that take a lot of mistakes to learn. But when we align ourselves and just to understand, the Holy Spirit will teach us. And is that part of, not everything is prophetic. Not everything that happens is prophetic. You will hear it everywhere. It drives me crazy. People say, "My address is prophetic. My name, the shoes I wear today is prophetic. My, you know, a movie I just watched is prophetic. And this is prophetic. And that, this happened, now I was out. It's prophetic of something." Saying I prophesy something doesn't make it prophetic, even if you are the greatest prophet on earth. You don't make anything prophetic. It's only prophetic if God says it first. And nothing changes that. Didn't he say it? Is he communicating it? Then it is prophetic. You see, but I hear people saying this, "I prophesy this will happen, and I'm going to prophesy that." And I sit there thinking, you better be sure God said it, because otherwise you're misleading these people. Saying, "I prophesy this, and I'm saying this." And no, you don't make it prophetic. Has God said it? Then it is prophetic. And making things prophetic because they fit something or an idea, it's not prophetic. There is prophetic, and then there is times things happen because they happen. Circumstantial things are not prophetic, even if they fit a scenario. Sometimes the butterfly flies into your car because the window is down. It's not prophetic that an angel is going to visit you. You see? But it happens a lot. There's a lot of that nonsense. You're going to internet prophetic? Help us, Jesus. No wonder there's so much contamination. There's accountability either. You see, it's not prophetic. I had somebody say to me something that was prophetic. A bird pooped on her head. And this whole prophetic word about the devil was coming to slime the people and to dump all kinds of things. And I thought, seriously? We just stood in the right place at the wrong time. It's only prophetic if God caused it to happen to communicate something. If God is speaking through it just because, oh no, this is what that means. It's not prophetic. You see, and so this big prophetic word, I knew the woman and I heard the story. This prophetic word went out. Then she was very frustrated that people were not responding to it. Well, it wasn't prophetic. You see? So is it prophetic? And we can't assume. The greatest pitfall of the prophetic is assumption. Don't assume anything. Don't assume. Assumption will cause you to make the biggest mistakes ever in the prophetic. You cannot assume anything because God is not in formulas. Just inquire. Ask him, is this you? Don't assume it is circumstantial. Look around to see if it fits circumstantial, but if not, don't assume it is. Ask and see what he tells you. Go. We have to inquire of the Lord all the time. All the time. So these things make a big difference. You know, your emotions. If you have an emotional tag about something and you cannot separate, it's better not to prophesy. We have to search our hearts. We have emotional tag, emotional connection with this person, my bestest friend, and I want her to be Miss Universe, so I'll prophesy. You will give flattery. I don't like that person, and I have a negative emotional tag. You will prophesy with criticism and condemnation. That's why you have to clean the filter constantly. That will keep you safe, will give you growth. You see, but then there is this side when the prophetic manifests in many ways. We are not all the same. And that's what we have to understand, and it is fine to be different. We are unique. We all have a place where we can fit that is in who we are, because if you are not yourself, hopefully your healed self, then, you know, it will not be real and it will be frustrating because God won't endorse, you know, learned behavior from someone else. You are imitating someone else. Scripturally, we can only imitate Jesus and Paul. That's it. Because Paul was a full imitator of Jesus. So, you know, we're not meant to imitate anybody else on earth. But, you know, a lot of people use learned behaviors. And so they are not real. They are not who they are. You need to be yourself. And God will use you as you are. Be real, be yourself, your way. It's important. So we need to know, really, where we fit in the manifestation. How the prophetic flows through you is very unique. And I want to go through very quickly through a few categories of it. But before I do, would you stand for a moment and stretch or hug somebody? You have been sitting for a bit. Was that?
Love you.
Love you. You're so beautiful. You really are.
You're very kind.
Thank you. And you look great.
Huh?
Have you lost a lot of weight?
Some, yeah.
You look amazing. I mean, you've always looked amazing, but when you walked out, I was like, wow.
Thank you. That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah, you did.
I'm